Okay, so today is the last day for the preceptors yogi, and I want to talk something very important for a practitioner. We know what is the most important teaching in the dispensation of the Buddha. What is the most important teaching? Four Noble Truths. Okay? Four Noble Truths. And in the Four Noble Truths, the first, the Noble Truth of Suffering, what is the Noble Truth of Suffering? The first eight, everybody know, birth, aging, sickness, and so on. But Buddha said, in short, five aggregates of clinging is the truth of suffering. We know five aggregates, right? First one, form aggregate, the body, the four elements. The second one, feeling aggregates. There are three types of feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Then, perception aggregate. Number fourth, formation. Any karma, any volitional karma is called volition aggregate. And last one, consciousness aggregate. And these five aggregates of clingings are the object of our contemplation. When we practice insight meditation, these five aggregates are the object of contemplation. How should we contemplate them? These five aggregates are subject to clinging. We cling to these five aggregates as I, my, myself. And we cling to them as permanent. We cling to them thinking they provide us happiness. And therefore, clinging to them give us suffering. So in order to understand the noble truth of suffering, you have to understand the five aggregates. But today, this is not my topic. I want to go to the second noble truth. What is the second noble truth? What is the origin? Origin of the truth of suffering. So what is the origin of the truth of suffering? Craving. Everybody must know craving. Okay. Since we all know craving is the origin of our suffering, now let me quote one important sentence from the Buddha. Buddha said, and where does this craving arise and establish itself? Since we know craving is the origin of suffering, as a practitioner, we must know where does this craving arise and establish itself. If we do not know where the craving arises and establish itself, how can we eliminate it? How can we destroy it? Not possible. You also do not know where it arises. Then you cannot tackle it. You cannot detect it. If you cannot detect it, you will be cheated, you will be playful, you will be fooled by the craving. Therefore, the important sentence we should know is, where does this craving arise and establish itself? What's the answer? Before I give you the Buddha's answer. Okay, five aggregates. Yes, some more? Contact. Okay, good. Some more? Okay, very good. Okay, let us see what Buddha said. Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there this craving arises and establishes itself. I think only this sentence can enlighten you if you have wisdom. Let me repeat one more time. wherever in the world. In the world can be internal world and external world, but mostly internal world. Internal means five aggregates, the world of five aggregates. So wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, this craving arises and establishes itself. Okay, if there is nothing agreeable, nothing pleasurable, can the craving arises and establish itself? Yes or no? No. No. So what is important is anything agreeable and pleasurable that trigger the craving. So if you understand this sentence, you can investigate yourself. Anything agreeable and pleasurable in you internally and externally, that's where craving arises and establishes itself. Okay, then Buddha give further information. And what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? Now we come inwardly. You check your whole body, mind and body. In your own body, what is there that is agreeable and pleasurable in your body? Very easy. Eye. Do you have attachment to eye? Do you think it's agreeable or pleasurable? Of course. Why? Because I can use my eye to see my lover. I can use my eye to see whatever object I like to see. So the eye to you is appear to be agreeable and pleasurable, and it is at this place where craving arises and craving establish itself. Okay, apart from eyes, where? Nose. We have also attachment to nose. We think nose is agreeable, we have attachment to ear. We think ear is agreeable and pleasurable because we can use the ear to listen a sweet voice, or when people praise you. When people praise you, you attach to the ear so much. And you can use the ear to listen to Dharma talk and so on. So ear to us also appear as agreeable and pleasurable, and is here where the craving arises and establish itself. Okay, so from eyes, ears, then we come to understand nose, tongue also. Without tongue, how can you enjoy the food? So we have strong attachment to the tongue. We think tongue is very agreeable. Therefore, the craving arises on the tongue, established on the tongue. Similarly, body. You can use your body to enjoy, right? By sexual misconduct, sexual intercourse. You use your body to enjoy sexual intercourse. So body appear to you as agreeable and pleasurable. Therefore, the craving arises on that, established, stand on it. Okay, and the mind also. Mind, you can enjoy all fantasy. Even if you have only small car, you can enjoy your mind, your fantasy, thinking you have biggest car in the world. No one can stop you having all this fantasy, imagination, and so on. So this sixth sense, internal sixth sense basis. Internal sixth sense basis is the world, which is agreeable and pleasurable, and is where craving arises and establishes itself. Similarly, what is the respective object of sixth sense basis? If you have eyes but no visible object for you to see, you also cannot enjoy your eyes, right? Must something, some object for you to see, only then craving will arise. Happy feeling will arise. Therefore, form or sight, forms, rupa, form any visible object in the world which is pleasurable and agreeable, that craving arises and establishes itself. For example, when an eye, the eyes of men, having the eyes, and come to contact with a beautiful girl, and the craving arises on that beautiful girl, not only on the eyes, but on that form, the beautiful object of a beautiful girl, then the craving arises on that sight, on that visible object. But if that object is ugly, a very, very ugly woman passed through a man's eyes, do you think he will have craving or not? Let me ask men.
Will you have craving?
Yes.
Ugly women also have craving.
So no craving. Therefore, Buddha say, Buddha say, wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, not everything ugly and displeasure. Okay? So similarly, sweet sound, sweet voice, food, taste, smell, tangible and agreeable mental object. So when they appear as agreeable, then the craving arises and established. Okay, apart from this six sense object and six sense basis, what else? Eye consciousness. If we have only eyes and visible object, but no consciousness can arise, no consciousness, then no seeing can arise. Only with eye consciousness, then seeing. Eye consciousness, when the eye comes to contact with visible object, then seeing consciousness arise, eye consciousness arise, see the objects. So eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, body, and mind consciousness in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. Okay? So apart from eye consciousness, what else? Eye contact. Just now you all mentioned eye contact. Eye contact. Only when the eye come to contact with agreeable visible object or agreeable sound. If ear come to contact with sweet voice and sound, then craving will arise. Without that contact, craving will not arise. Without that pleasurable contact or agreeable contact. So six types of contact: eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind contact in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. What else? After contact, what happened? Let's say your eye come to contact with a beautiful object. The woman sees the handsome boy, the man sees a beautiful woman. So there's eye contact. After eye contact, what happened? What arises? Yes, pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. When that pleasant feeling arises, were you attached to it? When you attach to it, there is the craving arises and establishes itself. And all beings seek for this pleasant feeling throughout their life. Therefore, pleasant feeling is one of the link, the dependent origination, dependent on contact, feeling arises. And dependent on feelings, craving arises. Craving is the origin of suffering, but craving arise depend on pleasant feeling. Therefore, pleasant feeling becomes one of the contemplation, we call one of the foundation for you to contemplate, for you to develop insight. We call Vedana, Nupassana, Satipatthana. One of the four foundations of mindfulness, contemplation of feeling. If you can contemplate feeling and it passes away, then craving will not take root, will not establish itself. So therefore, feeling born of eye contact. Since we have six types of contact, then we have six types of feelings. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. And this six contact in order, and mind contact, and there, this craving arises and establishes itself. So you see, there are so many objects you can comprehend. There are so many objects that you can contemplate. And apart from feeling, the perception of visible objects, the perception of sound, smell, taste, and tangible and mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. What is this perception? For example, you perceive the object, you perceive the visible object as beautiful, permanent, having a self, then the craving arises. For example, a mother perceive his son as pleasurable, perceive his son as permanent, as belong to me, then craving arises and establishes itself. Similarly, if you perceive your house, your car, as beautiful, pleasurable, permanent, then craving arise on that car, as well as on your own perception. Both on the car itself, materiality, and the way you perceive it, the perception itself. Because you perceive it wrongly, then the craving arise on that wrong perception. But if you perceive it as impermanent suffering, then the craving will not arise out of wrong perception or distorted perception. Okay, what else? Volition. Volition in regard to sights, to visible objects, to sounds, to smells, to tastes, and tangible mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. Volition means wanting to get. For example, when you see a beautiful visible object, a jewel, a woman sees a jewel, or when a woman sees cosmetic, the volition arises, want to get it. So this volition itself, volition in regard to visible object, is agreeable and pleasurable, then craving arises. So this volition means wanting to get, the will, desire, wanting to get it, wanting to possess, wanting to do, wanting to act, all this. And this volition in regard to five sense object. Visible, sound, smell, taste, and tongue, smell, taste, and tangible. So if you think these five sense objects are pleasurable, then your volition to get it becomes strong, and the craving arises and establishes itself. Understand? Okay. The next one, Buddha give many variety. Then the craving for visible objects, craving for sounds, for taste, for smells, taste, and tangible mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. It's easy to understand. You want something, you crave for something, then craving arises and establish, take root. And the next one, thinking of visible object, sounds, smell, taste, and tangible mind object. You think of it. You think of a very agreeable sound, then craving arise and establish itself. Or during sitting meditation, you think of food, you think of taste, then craving arise and establish itself on that thinking. Okay, the next one. Just like the next one, pondering. Pondering on sights, on visible objects, sound, smell, taste, tangible and mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. Ponder it again and again. First is thinking only, just one thinking, one thought. They also can cause craving to arise. Second one is keep on thinking, pondering, keep on thinking. I give you an example. When I was in USA, one day I was offered a blueberry pie, just finished, just baked, very fresh. Then when I taste it, because of tongue contact, because it's fresh, and when that blueberry pie come to contact with my tongue, so tongue contact, then after tongue contact, I'm not mindful. Only Arahant can be mindful 100%. I'm not Arahant, so at that time I'm not mindful. So pleasant feeling, very strong pleasant feeling born from tongue contact arise, and I'm also not mindful. Okay, then craving arise. Then craving arise, I'm also not mindful, then thinking. So you see, one step, if I miss one, I miss the second one, I miss the third one, I miss the fourth one. Then after that, finish already. Finish the meal already. Then the next one, pondering. The mind start to ponder. Can she offer me tomorrow again? Is she going to offer me tomorrow again? So the mind start to ponder. So when I ponder about this blueberry pie, the craving arises. And it arises for months. Until one time, I start to know I was caught in this craving for a blueberry pie, and I start to note. And because I give this talk, I often give the talk how my craving arises due to blueberry pie. So those who have listened to my talk, every time come and offer me blueberry pie again. Until I get very disgusted, no more blueberry pie. That is very good for me. So my craving to the blueberry pie gone, finished. So all I want to say is that start from the looking at the eye, at the blueberry pie, no mindfulness, tongue contact, no mindfulness, then pleasant feeling born of tongue contact, no mindfulness, then a craving arise, also no mindfulness. Then after finished thinking, pondering, and make the following days full of suffering, simply because of a lapse of mindfulness. Okay, so it's called pondering. And Buddha said, pondering on visible objects, sound, smell, taste, and tangible and mind object in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. And lastly, listen what Buddha said, okay? And that, monks, is called the noble truth of the origin of suffering. This is the noble truth of the origin of suffering. We come here to practice, to cease, to end all suffering, right? So we must know what is the origin of the suffering. This just now what I mentioned, according to this sutta, under four foundation of mindfulness in Dikkha Nikaya, the long discourse. And this is the origin of all suffering. Now, knowing the origin of suffering is not enough, right? We want to bring the suffering into cessation, that's most important. Where we want to bring the suffering to the end. This is our aim, right? So how to bring this suffering to the end? Buddha further said, and monks, is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. It is the complete fading away and extinction of this craving. Is forsaking and abandonment. Liberation from it, detachment from it. And how does this craving come to be abandoned? How does its cessation come about? Such an important statement. But many people just do not pay attention to it. Okay? And listen what Buddha said. Okay? Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. Let me read that one more time. Wherever in the world there's anything agreeable and pleasurable, there is cessation comes about. This is the answer. Then how to practice? You see, in the sutta, usually Buddha didn't give you direct answer. And how does this craving come to be abandoned? And what is there in the world that's agreeable and pleasurable? Let me read one more time for you. Important statement had to be listened many times. Wherever in the world there is anything agreeable and pleasurable, there its cessation comes about. And what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? Just now we already discussed, right? So what is there in the world that is agreeable and pleasurable? Six sense objects, six sense faces, six types of consciousness, six types of contact, six types of feeling, then six types of volition, then some more craving, six types of craving, and thinking and pondering, right? We just finished this one. So then Buddha said, the I in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving comes to be abandoned, there is cessation comes about. This is Buddha's answer. So when you read this passage, do you know how to practice? Yes or no? How to practice? You know. If you know how to practice, means you are highly intelligent. If you don't know how to practice, then it makes sense. If you have been following my teaching for a long time, I think you know the answer. For example, seeing the eye come to contact with a beautiful, pleasurable, visible object, then pleasant feeling arises. And when the pleasant feeling arises, the craving arises and establish itself on that pleasant feeling, right? So how to make that pleasant feeling, how to make that craving not arise on that pleasant feeling? Not aware by way of mindfulness. So first you apply mindfulness, no, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Pleasant feeling, just pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. But mindfulness alone will never lead you to Nibbana. Another mental factors. Another mental factor is important. What is that? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom sees anicca, dukkha, anatta. Wisdom penetrates into true nature of things as impermanent, as suffering, as cause and effect, as non-self. So in this case, when you apply mindfulness, you know pleasant feeling has arisen. This mindfulness. Then you further apply wisdom, contemplate this pleasant feeling as impermanent, or this pleasant feeling as vanishing, passing away. Then with the maturity of your wisdom, you really see this pleasant feeling passes away. So when your wisdom penetrates to this pleasant feeling and sees it passing away, can the craving arises and establish itself on that pleasant feeling or not? Yes or no?
No.
So you know the answer already, right? This is the way of practice. It's so easy. And for this reason, why? For years, I keep on teaching my student contemplate impermanence. Even on my t-shirt, I printed the word of impermanence, hoping that t-shirt will help me to teach you. Not simply a word, helping me to remind you not to forget to contemplate impermanence. And if, however, sometimes mind can be so forgetful, and you forget to contemplate that pleasant feeling as impermanent, anicca, impermanent, that pleasant feeling trigger, condition the craving to arise. Then you know craving has arisen in my mind. In order to abandon that craving, what should you do? What should you do? What should you do? How come you don't know? My gosh! Just now you know the answer, now you don't know the answer. Same thing. Take that craving as object and contemplate it as impermanent, anicca. How come just now you know the answer, now you don't know? Because you already identify craving as myself. Because when I tell like that, you cannot answer because you already identify craving as myself. And you always think myself is permanent, so you don't know how to know impermanent already. This is the root cause. And it's for this reason why every time I teach contemplation of the mind, no one get it. I teach my student contemplate fear as not self, as impermanent, as not self, as impermanent. I teach my student to contemplate irritation, agitation, aversion as not self, just a mental state, impermanent. Many repeatedly for many times. After my Dharma talk, one student asked again, "Sister, how to contemplate mental state?" I just finished explaining. And she asked the same question. Every time I scratched my head. What's wrong? Is there something wrong with her or something wrong with me? But finally, I find out the reason why. Because since long, we have been identifying all the mental states, your anger, your attachment, your fear, your doubt as myself. So this wrong perception is so ingrained in the mind. Even I speak 100 times, you still cannot get it. Maybe after 6 years, or after 5 years, you get it. If you can get it on the spot I talk, then you are the highly intelligent person. I teach this to my student. It takes him, I think, 7 to 8 years to start to understand my teaching. And it's not his fault. It's the fault of identity view, Sakaya Ditti. Because in the depth of our mind, there's one Sakaya Ditti, personality view or identification view. So we identify all our mind, all our mental state as I, mind, myself. We do not know we can contemplate this mental state as impermanent, as not a self. Because we have been identifying as a self, so we never think we can contemplate it as not a self. And just now, your reaction also proved one more time. When I say pleasant feeling, everybody know how to contemplate impermanent. And when I say craving, nobody give me answer. I was so shocked. It's the same thing. Same thing. The fear you have, fear of that. When fear arises in you, contemplate that fear as impermanent, not myself. Even one of my students following me for a long time, one day he come to me, "Sister Sally, I have so much fear." I say, "You have been following me for so long time. Can't you contemplate that fear as not myself, impermanent or not? You come to me, I cannot help you. What can I teach you is the method. You need to apply it. Otherwise, I cannot help you. I only can help you giving you efficient, the most effective method. But you yourself have to apply. Otherwise, even Buddha alive, Buddha cannot help you, not to speak me. Right? Okay. So don't forget. Next time, jealousy arises in your mind, what should you contemplate? Impermanent, anicca. Otherwise, every day wear the t-shirt, anicca t-shirt, to remind you again and again. Okay, so the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the body,